Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning in verse 22, Jesus and Peter walking on water. Allow me to read that at this time. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of our God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from him who is and who was and will come again, our Lord and our Savior, God's own Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. It may not feel like it, but for most of our community, summer is over. School's back in session. By now, most of the students and teachers in our community here have their first week under their belts. They've learned each other's names, they've figured out their class schedules, but learning, teaching, it's about more than just being in the right room, or with the right people, or in the right book. Great teachers know how to adapt lessons so that their students actually understand and retain the material they're presenting. Great teachers recognize that not all of their students learn in exactly the same manner. Some of their students are going to learn very easily by reading and taking notes and filling out worksheets. Others need to see it in graphs and pictures and diagrams. They will have learners who get more when they discuss the concepts and hear from people who have been there and done that. And there will be a part of their classroom that learns best by trial and error, putting those concepts into practice. Field trips help history and science and math come alive for them. Being a great teacher is a demanding task. It's a tall task to teach such a variety of learning styles, but great teachers do what they can because they have a passion for teaching and they have a love for their students. In today's gospel reading, we see Jesus teaching his disciples. He's taking the 12 men who followed him through an intensive course of instruction and preparation. We're used to that. We're used to seeing Jesus teaching in the Gospels, but it seems like he saved some of his higher-level lessons for when he and his disciples were out on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. First, it was when he called Peter, James, and John to be his disciples, right? Jesus was on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he was teaching the crowds. Because they were pressing up against him, Jesus made his way into Peter's boat. After he was done teaching the crowds, Jesus told Peter to put out to deep water and let down his nets. Now, Peter hadn't caught anything at all the night before, but because Jesus said so, he listened. He let down his nets. Suddenly, those nets were bursting at the seams. They filled Peter's boat with fish, and it began to sink. So he signaled to his partners, James and John, to come and help him. And they loaded that boat, too. And both boats were so full that they began to sink. When Peter saw all this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Of course, merciful Jesus didn't listen to Peter's request and said, he said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." The next lesson that our Lord taught his disciples was when a furious storm popped up on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples were used to difficult weather and navigating that on the water, but this was different. The storm was more intense, and strangely enough, Jesus was sleeping through it all. As the boat was getting swamped with water, they cried out to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Of course Jesus did. So he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves by saying, "Quiet, be still." And again, the disciples were afraid. This time they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him?" Today's lesson takes place in that same classroom. Jesus just fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Then he compelled his disciples to get in the boat and go on ahead of him back to Gennesaret, which was near Capernaum, Jesus' home base for ministry and teaching. After Jesus had dismissed the crowds with a blessing, he went up on the mountainside to spend the next 6 or so hours in prayer. Don't forget why they had crossed over the Sea of Galilee in the first place. Jesus was trying to get away from the crowds. He wanted to process and grieve the execution of John the Baptist and prepare himself for what lay ahead. After spending the evening in prayer, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to meet his disciples walking on the lake. But when his disciples saw him in that early morning light, they were terrified. They cried out in fear, thinking he was a ghost. But Jesus said to them, "Take courage. I am. Don't be afraid." At this point, the lesson seems to be a repeat. You know, Jesus demonstrates his divine power. The disciples are afraid. Jesus tells them not to be afraid. And then he shows them his power, his plan, his love for them. That all makes sense. Repetition is the mother of learning, right? But that is not where this lesson ends, does it? Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And this is where you and I naturally zero in. We've got a lot of questions about what's happening and why, right? Why? What does Peter mean by, "if it's you, Lord"? Why would Peter ask to walk on water in the first place? Doesn't he know how poorly this could all go? And then why does Jesus say yes? Doesn't he know how poorly this is all going to go? But before we can get any of those questions out of our mouth, Peter is out of the boat, walking on water towards Jesus. And then, when he saw how the powerful wind was kicking up the waves, he got scared, and he began to sink. Surely Jesus saw this coming. Surely he knew how Peter would react. So why did he tell him, "Come," in the first place, if he knew how this was all going to turn out? Some people are visual learners. Others benefit from talking it out. Some learn best when they read something. Others figure it out through trial and error. But the best, the most unforgettable lessons are the ones that are driven home deeply by our own personal experiences. Peter needed this lesson. And so do we. Because there are times just like Peter when we are scared to do what God is calling us to do. And I'm not talking about some inner inclination or some leaning in life. I'm talking about the red letter commands that come only from Christ. I'm talking about the plain as day directions from God's word. Things like, "Forgive one another as I have forgiven you." Or, "Watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation." Or, "Do not worry about your life, but seek first God's kingdom." Or, "Pray continually." You see, when Christ gives us commands like these, the first step might be scary, but it's not particularly complicated. We can do it. Because of what Christ has done for us, we have the capacity, the strength to forgive freely. Because of what Christ is doing in us, we can be on our guard about all kinds of temptation. Because of what Christ has done for us, we can flee some temptations and pray for strength to combat others. Because of what Christ promises us, when we face stressors, we can acknowledge our anxieties and remember what Jesus said about how God cares for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. Because of Christ's example, because we pray in his name, we can pray to God about all the things on our hearts and minds. The first steps might be scary, but they're not complicated. The problem that we face is the problem that Peter faced. The problems that pop up after those first steps. When things don't go the way we thought they were going to go. When the powerful winds of life in this world kick up the water around us, that's when we get scared, because we realize that this moment, this task, this test, this problem is more than we can handle on our own. We might think that it's relatively easy to forgive someone who has sinned against us once, but what happens when they do it again and again? What are we supposed to do when they tell us that they're sorry, but we're pretty sure they don't actually mean it? It might be easy for us to be on our guard about some temptation at first. But what happens when our weakness is exposed? What happens when we see that good itself does not dwell in us, in our sinful natures? What do we do when we fall again and again into the same foolish sins? You know, for a while, maybe we do nip our worries in the bud, but what happens when they pop up again? What happens when our worries outnumber the ways out? What happens when our bills pile up and there's no end in sight? What happens when we have no idea what's wrong with our bodies or with our loved ones? What now? What do we do now when we have been praying for quite some time? When our prayers have been fervent and clear, but God doesn't seem to give us any answer at all, should we keep on praying for the same thing day after day? You see, it's in moments like these when we are struggling to forgive or guard against temptation, to stop worrying or to keep praying, that we have poor instincts. There's a part of us that thinks we just need to dig deeper. But you and I don't need to summon more inner courage. We need to cry out, "Lord, save me." That was the best thing that Peter said. See, the first time Jesus gave Peter a lesson on the Sea of Galilee, Peter responded by saying, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." He was right about himself, but wrong about what Jesus should do. This time, he says, "Come near me, Lord, quickly. Save me." And look at what Jesus did. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. See, our Lord and Savior, the Son of God, does not delay in responding to the needs of his beloved people. When his disciples were crying out in fear, immediately Jesus said to them, "Take courage, I am. Don't be afraid." The rescue, the reassurance comes right away. Yes, there is that rebuke. "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" But only because Jesus recognized that his disciples needed to carry this lesson with them for a long time. That they'd need it sooner than they wanted. When Jesus and Peter returned to the boat and climbed in, the disciples were no longer asking themselves who Jesus was. They knew. They said, "Truly, you are the Son of God who has come to seek and save the lost and the dying and the drowning." That same Jesus would stretch out his hands another time to save these disciples from drowning. not drowning in the sea of Galilee, but drowning in the sea of their sins and the righteous wrath of their God. Jesus courageously confronted death so that you and I would not be swept away because of our sins. On Calvary's cross, Jesus experienced what Peter did for just a moment on the Sea of Galilee. You think about that fear of drowning. That experience of your lungs being filled with liquid so you cannot breathe. That is a terrifying thought. Peter was an experienced fisherman. I can't fathom that he was not also a confident swimmer, but he was terrified because he recognized it was too much for him. So he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus did so immediately. But when Jesus' arms were stretched out on the cross, when his lungs were filling with liquid, when he was struggling to breathe, he didn't cry out, "Father, save me." He knew that he was being forsaken by his God. He knew that he had put himself in our place so that by his substitutionary death, you and I might be saved. And so our faith and our hope rest in Christ crucified. He is the anchor of our confidence. He is the reason that we are courageous. Not because of something within us, but because of something within God. Because God is rich in mercy. Because God is powerful to save. Because God responds to the needs of his people immediately. Truly, Jesus is this Son of God and our Savior. And he is ready to rescue us even when our courage comes up short, when our faith is frail and weak, when our trust in him is shaky and unsteady. He remains faithful. He has saved us, and he will continue to help us in our time of need, just like he did for Peter. You see, it wouldn't be too long in the Gospel of Matthew that Peter would be confident in his own courage once again. On the night before his crucifixion, Jesus told his disciples that all were going to fall away from him when he was arrested. Peter challenged that. He said, "Even if all fall away, I never will." It seems Peter had forgotten the lesson that Jesus taught him here on the Sea of Galilee. Once again, he was relying on his own inner courage to confront his fears, but he would fall away. He would deny even knowing Jesus. But Jesus would never leave him. After his death and resurrection, Jesus made a point of personally forgiving and restoring Peter, of assuring Peter that Jesus saved him again. He has done no less for you and me. Our courage does not come from within, but it comes from our Christ, who was crucified in our place, who rose back to life for our justification, who is eager to save quickly. So when we are wronged and called to forgive the person who has wronged us, Jesus will strengthen us with his word. He will remind us of his own righteousness, his sacrifice for sins, not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. When we fall into temptation, he remains eager to forgive. In fact, he tells us he and the rest of heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents. When we are worried, he reminds us of his wisdom, his plan, how he is actively working out all things for the good of those who love him, how he will never leave us or forsake us. When we feel like our prayers are aimless or pointless, he will assure us that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. When we are scared and sinking because the wind of this world has kicked up and the waves seem like they are going to overpower us, Jesus will immediately catch us and give us courage, not in ourselves, but in the one who is with us, even to the very end of the age. That's why we don't need to be afraid. That's where we find our courage. And that's a lesson that you and I can't learn too many times. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name once again is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to proclaim to you God's power and his willingness to save us immediately. When we run into the storms of life in this world, it is not proof that our God has abandoned us. It is further evidence of how much we need a God who saves us. That Jesus is eager to save you and me and does so through his word, through his sacraments. If you'd like to learn more about how Jesus does his saving work in your life and mine, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll find opportunities to join us for public worship, to learn more about what we believe and teach at River of Life, and to connect with me personally. I'd love to share with you the good news of great joy that Christ is here to save you and me. May God continue to bless and keep you.